Hello folks, welcome to another edition of Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host Paul Trenwith, and once again I'm recording from my home studio, which is just a desk and a little mixer and my laptop, looking out the window of my house. We're in lockdown here in Hamilton, New Zealand, not allowed to go out apart from essential trips to the grocer and chemist shop or hospital if you're sick or something like that, and just stay at home and wear masks when you go out, all that sort of thing in our efforts to defeat COVID-19 and stop it spreading in our neighbourhoods. So because of that, I get to do my bluegrass show from home, and this time I've got one that's maybe a little bit different for you. I belong to a country music club at Morrinsville. It's a great club, and every now and then we do a special concert that's a little different from the regular monthly concert that we normally do. Several years ago, we did a special concert that was called Country Music Through the Decades, or Decades of Country Music, or something like that. Anyway, in that concert, we picked out sort of essential songs from the various decades of country music, starting in the 1920s, and we just picked songs, allocated them to people to sing, and worked our way up to the present time. And everyone thought it was a very successful concert, and we had a lot of fun doing it. So for today's show, I've sort of doing decades of bluegrass, and I thought I'd start at the beginning and work my way through and try and pick songs that were influential for each decade of bluegrass music. And I picked one at the start of the decade and one towards the end of the decade, perhaps. And as soon as I got into preparing it, I realized I was in deep trouble because there were so many choices. Ah, could have gone all sorts of different directions, especially as I got into the 1990s and the 2000s. So this is very much a personal view of bluegrass music and what it's all about. But that's what the show is. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. It's Paul Trenwith, and this is my personal take on bluegrass music. And this show is bluegrass music through the decades. And of course, there's no better way to kick it off than Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, what many consider to be classic bluegrass band. Bill Monroe, tenor, singer, mandolin, Lester Flatt, lead vocals, guitar, Chubby Wise on fiddle, Earl Scruggs on the five-string banjo, Howard Watts on the string bass. And here they are with a 1947 recording, I'm Going Back to Old Kentucky.
Back to old Kentucky, there to see my Linda Lou. I'm going back to old Kentucky, where the skies are always blue. When I left old Kentucky, Linda kissed me and she cried, told her that it would not linger, I'd be back by and by. I'm going back to old Kentucky, there to see my Linda Lou. I'm going back to old Kentucky, where the skies are always blue. Oh, it's pretty brown eyes I love so well. I'm going back to old Kentucky, never more to say a farewell. I'm going back to old Kentucky, there to see my little darling. I'm going back to old Kentucky, where the skies are always blue. Linda Lou, you know I love you. I long for you each night and day. When the roses bloom in old Kentucky, I'll be coming back to stay. I'm going back to old Kentucky, there to see my Linda Lou. I'm going back to old Kentucky, where the skies are always blue. There to see my Linda Lou. I'm going back to old Kentucky, where the skies are always blue.
Well, wasn't that great? I can't believe how fresh it sounds, 74 years after it was recorded, and it sounds as contemporary as anything else that might be played. Those guys did a wonderful job and really set the format for bluegrass music, and I'm just amazed at just how good that sounds. Moving on a year, I'm doing something a little different. A singer that we don't hear much about these days, Jimmy Skinner, but he recorded a song that has become one of the classics of bluegrass music, and I'm going to play that for you. Here's Jimmy Skinner's 1948 recording of Doing My Time.
On a sore rock pile, with a ball and chain, they called me by a number, not a name, Lord. Gotta do my time. Gotta do my time. With an aching heart and a worried mind. When that old judge looked down and smiled, he said, I'll put you on that good road for a while, Lord, Lord. Gotta do my time. Gotta do my time. With an aching heart and a worried mind. You can hear my song. I'm gonna swing it like John Henry all day long, Lord, Lord. Gotta do my time. Gotta do my time. With an aching heart and a worried mind. It won't be long, just a few more days, till I'll settle down and quit my rowdy ways, Lord, Lord, with that gal of mine. With that gal of mine, she'll be waiting for me when I've done my time.
Well, as you can hear, Jimmy Skinner was never really a bluegrass musician. He sort of straddled the line between the country music of the day and tried to flavor his songs with things like a banjo and a mandolin. It's a particularly poor recording, really, but he had a wonderful voice. Most traditionalists of country music will really think he's contributed immensely. He did songs like Will You Be Satisfied That Way, Don't Give Your Heart to a Rambler, Doing My Time, the one that we just heard, and his version of Dark Hollow is really the one that most bluegrasses follow up on. So he did make a big contribution to bluegrass music. Well, there were a lot of bands that started copying Munro's sound, and one of the bands was the Lonesome Pine Fiddlers, a band organised by Ezra Klein, who was a bass player, and usually had with him his brother, I think it was, Curly Ray Klein, who we later know as an integral member of Ralph Stanley's sound. But one of the earliest combinations of the band featured Bob Osborne playing guitar, very young Bobby Osborne playing guitar, and Larry Richardson doing vocals with Bobby and playing banjo. Ray Morgan played the fiddle on this one, Lonesome, Sad and Blue from 1950. That's some early bluegrass from one of the first bands to really copy the bluegrass music sound of Bill Munro and Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, and they did a great job. They'd written the song as well, so they were really deeply into the bluegrass idiom. Another band that copied Munro's sound and copied some of his songs and in fact caused some level of dissension between them was the Stanley Brothers. And the Stanley Brothers... Anyone who's listened to this show before will know that I'm a real fan of the Stanley Brothers, but I just loved the way they played and sang, and loved Carter Stanley's voice. So did Bill Munro, and he actually had Carter Stanley working for him for some times, and they sounded great together, believe me. But I'm going to do one of the classic bluegrass recordings from 1958 of the Stanley Brothers, a song that's probably done by most bands, and including the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band. We often set off our programs with this song. It's a classic called How Mountain Girls Can Love.
whispered to me when I held you close. We hoped that night would never end. Get out, boy, go back home, back to the girl you love. Treat her right, never wrong, how mountain gals can come. Get out, boy, go back home, back to the girl you love.
Oh, they wrote the book on classic bluegrass, didn't they? Everything about that song is just the way you learn to play bluegrass music, and that's why it's such a good song to kick off the concert. It says, this is what we're here for, and this is what we do. Thank you very much to the Stanley Brothers. With them on that recording, they had Bill Napier playing mandolin, Ralph Mayo on fiddle, and Albert Elliott or Towser Murphy on bass, one of the classic lineups. Well, those late 1950s were real tough times for bluegrass bands, and the Stanley Brothers never had it easy, almost even when they were playing music like that. It was real tough times to make a living. But there was one band that was doing pretty well right through the 1950s, and when we get into the 1960s, they were the bluegrass band, and that's Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, and the Foggy Mountain Boys. They were prominent on the very first recording I played as part of this program, and their influence on bluegrass music has been absolutely immense. But it was about to be increased 100-fold when they played the title track for a Californian-based TV show called the Beverly Hillbillies. And Paul Henning wrote the title song, and he wanted Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs to play the music. The Ballad of Jed Clampett became the song which many of us, me included, were drawn into bluegrass music. I heard that way of playing banjo and I thought, that's exactly what I want to do. And I found out that that's been the story for so many people all around the world. Flatt and Scruggs had, by this time, a really good repertoire of music, but they broadened their outlook in the 1960s. They did some great concerts, Vanderbilt University at Carnegie Hall, and they appeared on the TV show now and then, and they really spread the word about bluegrass music. I'd hardly call The Ballad of Jed Clampett as a piece of classic bluegrass music, but because it was so important to bluegrass music, I'm going to play it for you. Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs and the Foggy Mountain Boys, and The Ballad of Jed Clampett.
I've been listening to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. First thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. He said, California is the place you ought to be. So he loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars. It's time to say goodbye to Jed and all his kin. They would like to thank you folks for kindly dropping in. You're all invited back again to this locality to have a heaping helping of their hospitality. Beverly Hillbillies, that's what they call them now. Nice folks. You all come back, yeah?
Yeah? Well, as you can hear, the song had nothing much to do with bluegrass music at all. And in fact, the Columbia record label that they worked on was doing their best to try and take Flat and Scruggs out of the classic bluegrass lineup and repertoire and trying to get them to catch on to the new folk world that was happening around them. And Lester struggled with it and Earl sort of ran with it a little bit, but that's a whole nother story. But that song was just so important for the popularity of bluegrass music, I thought I just better include it. Meanwhile, let's move out of Nashville and the sort of basis for bluegrass music in the early days and move up to Washington, D.C. There was some great music played around Washington, D.C. People from the Appalachians moving into town and around Baltimore and places like that. There was just a real core of bluegrass music, and out of it all rose a band that had a profound influence on bluegrass music and pickers like me, and that was a band called the Country Gentlemen. And the classic band, John Duffy on mandolin, Charlie Waller on guitar, Eddie Adcock on banjo, and usually Tom Gray on bass, but often Ed Ferris or Ed McLaughlin. They had a few different bass players, but they chose both from the classic bluegrass repertoire for their music, plus they chose songs from bands like the Kingston Trio. They had a keen ear for anything that would suit bluegrass music, and they put on an absolute performance. To many people, they changed the face of bluegrass music and how it is performed. None of the standing still and not cracking a smile. They were crazy. They clowned around, they messed up songs, they had funny songs like their version of Cripple Creek and Big Bad John, I forget what it was called. They just did weird stuff. The Country Gentlemen, great. Here they are doing a classic song from 1967. It's one called The Matterhorn.
Albert the Australian and John the Irishman, me and Bill from Britain, mad dogs in the sun. Matterhorn, Matterhorn, men have tried and men have died to climb the Matterhorn, that mighty Matterhorn. We lost John and the rations fell below. Al and Bill are lying beneath an avalanche of snow. Now here I am all alone and I know I cannot stop. Two more yards in front of me before I reach the top. Surely knight me if I could get back down, but it's closer here to heaven than it is back to the ground.
Great song by the Country Gentlemen, Matterhorn. That was written by Mel Tillis, the country singer, too. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass, and I'm your host, Paul Trenwith. And we're doing bluegrass music through the decades, and I'm picking a couple of tracks from each decade, just to illustrate the changes in bluegrass music and what was happening in bluegrass music at the time. And we're just, that song was from 1967, and next we're going to jump to 1972, but we're sticking in the Washington DC area, because not only did John Duffy have a huge influence in the Country Gentlemen, but he had a huge influence in a band that was to become almost a whole step up in bluegrass music, and that was, of course, Seldom Seen. Astonishingly good performing band, great lead singing, dynamic performances, and they just about rewrote the bluegrass repertoire. Yet when they played classic bluegrass, they put their own touch to it, but just nailed it. Here they are doing a song called Raised by the Railroad Line from 1972, Seldom Seen.
Clickety sound of the southbound freight and the high-speed hum of the passenger train becomes a part of the soul and the heart and the mind of the boy who's raised by the railroad line. The sound of the whistle at the cross in the road, and the tanks and the trucks and the tractors on the flat car load, becomes a part of a soul in the heart and the mind of the boy who's raised by the railroad line. And the big round penny that you lay on the rails and the wheels mash flat, and the glimpse of the ladies and the pictures of the men in the engineer's hat, and the brakeman waves from the red caboose. He's a part of the past and never quite turns loose. He's a part of a soul and the heart and the mind of the boy who's raised by the railroad line. Sound of the whistle at the cross in the road, and the tanks and the trucks and the tractors on the flat car load, becomes a part of a soul and a part of a mind of a boy that's raised by the railroad line. And the big round penny that you lay on the rails and the wheels mash flat, and the glimpse of the ladies and the pictures of the men in the engineer's hat, and the brakeman waves from the red caboose, he's a part of the past and never quite turns loose. He's a part of a soul and a heart and a mind of the boy who's raised by the railroad line. Of the boy who's raised by the railroad line.
Oh, I remember when I first heard that song. Act One was the vinyl album that I got, and I put that on. That's the first track, and I thought, what is this? I'd heard Ben Eldridge play before, I think, as part of Cliff Waldron's band, and I'd heard John Duffy with the Country Gentlemen. Mike Aldridge had been part of Cliff Waldron's band. John Starling was new, and Tom Gray, of course, was part of the Country Gentlemen. Familiar musicians, you could say, and what a great sound, and they dominated my listening through the 1970s, as did another young man we'd been fortunate enough to see him play when we visited the USA with the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band in 1971, and he just joined a band called the Bluegrass Alliance. And Tony Rice, along with a good mate of his, Sam Bush, were just stunning musicians, and we were amazed and absolutely delighted to be able to see the beginnings of their careers in bluegrass music. Tony Rice, of course, died at the beginning of this year, but he contributed so much to bluegrass music with his guitar playing and with his lead singing, with the recordings of from the Bluegrass Album Band, which rewrote bluegrass, traditional bluegrass, for many, many young men coming along and learning. Tony Rice was brilliant. Here he is from the Manzanita album doing a song called Ginseng Sullivan.
About 3 miles from the Bentown yard at the reverse curve on down, not far south from the town depot, Sullivan's shack was found, back on the higher ground. You could see him every day walking down the line, with an old brown sack across his back and his long hair down behind, speaking his worried mind. It's a long way from the Delta to the North Georgia hills, and a tote sack full of ginseng won't pay no travel bills. And I'm too old to ride the rail off on the road alone, but I guess I'll never make it back to home. My buddy wanted Mississippi Delta home. Stay at the foot of the hill. But next summer things turn right, the companies will pay high, I'll make enough money to pay my bills and bid these mounts goodbye. And he said with a sigh, it's a long way from the Delta to the North Georgia hills, and a tote sack full of ginseng won't pay no travel bills. And I'm too old to ride the rail off on the road alone, but I guess I'll never make it back to home. My bloody water, Mississippi Delta home. Georgia hills, and a tote sack full of ginseng won't pay no travel bill. And I'm too old to ride the rail off on the road alone, but I guess I'll never make it back to home. My muddy water, Mississippi Delta home. My muddy water, Mississippi Delta home.
Well, the guys playing on that track, and in fact this whole album, dominated bluegrass music in the 1980s and 90s. Tony Rice, guitar, lead vocals. Sam Bush was doing mandolin on part of it. He played fiddle on that track. Todd Phillips on bass. Ricky Skaggs was playing mandolin and doing tenor vocals on that track. And Jerry Douglas was playing the dobro.
Hi bluegrass fans everywhere, I'm Barry Patterson from Cambridge in New Zealand, and I'm listening to Paul Tremworth on the Back Porch Bluegrass.
Thanks, Barry. Big shout out to all the people that are listening to Back Porch Bluegrass on access radio stations in New Zealand, right throughout New Zealand. This program is aired at different times of the day and night. Access radio stations in Canada. Hello to all you people up in Canada. Bluegrass Planet Radio in the USA. And all those people who are listening on podcasts. Thanks very much. I hope you're enjoying my take on bluegrass music. It's a very personal take. I do my best not to be influenced. In fact, to be perfectly honest, I don't really follow what's happening in contemporary bluegrass music. I'm getting a bit old for that. And there's too much of it going on and I can't keep up. So I just keep restocking my albums every now and then and finding tracks to play on the various heaps of albums, both vinyl and CDs that I've got, and I hope you enjoy that. We're going to hear from one of my vinyl collections, a man that really changed my approach to music, and I just loved his playing. I heard him in the early days, particularly with the Country Gentlemen, followed his music there. But when Doyle Lawson set up his own band of Quicksilver, playing gospel music, that was really where my heart was. And I just about loved everything that he did. I've probably got a dozen vinyl albums and I've got dozens of CDs of his. I really enjoy his music, and if you have ever listened to my program before, you will know that I'm strongly biased towards listening to Doyle Lawson's music. He's a wonderful gentleman, very friendly and very approachable, and I've met him a few times at different festivals that I've been fortunate enough to attend and had a talk to him. He knows I follow his music from afar, and I think he's tickled pink that someone down in New Zealand loves his music. Here is a track from 1981, the Rock My Soul album. On this, he's got himself playing mandolin, doing vocals, Terry Borkum on banjo and vocals, Lou Reed on bass and vocals, and Jimmy Haley on guitar and vocals. He went to his new format where he didn't sing lead very often. He usually had a high lead and he did a part underneath, a different structure. And he had special guest Bobby Hicks playing fiddle, whose fiddle playing I've always loved. And he just managed to put together a magic sound for gospel and bluegrass music. And we're going to hear the opening track, On the Sea of Life, Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver.
Sail, sailing onward, sailing on the foam. We are talking to the captain as the angry goes home. Soon the sun reaches the harbor and we sail the orbit night. We are going onward to the other side. Many millions now abide in that home beyond the tide, where the ransom pilgrims wait free from care. There is room on board for all who will heed the captain's call and take ship for heaven's country bright and fair. We are sailing onward, sailing, sailing on the foam. We are talking to the captain as the angry goes home. Soon, yes, sir.
Thanks, Doyle. That was absolutely magic. You're listening to Bluegrass Music Through the Decades, and that was a track from the early 1980s by Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. It was a band that I just listened to so much. It was on the mid or late 1980s that I first heard the music of Claire Lynch, and I'm not quite sure how I first heard about it, but she was part of the Front Porch String Band, along with her then husband Larry Lynch, Andy McGuinness on bass, and Herb Trotman on banjo and guitar. And the singing of Claire Lynch was an absolute revelation. Loved her music, loved her approach of phrasing, how she did things, and I subsequently got to see her play at different festivals, particularly the Grass Valley Festival in California, and in fact I even got to play some music with her. That was really good fun, and really one of my definitely bucket list items. From the album Lines and Traces, I'm going to play you a song that really shows just how much Claire Lynch can add to a song, the song I Found You.
Heart wants to sing, I'll sing them for you. It's the least I can do. You're more than a friend, you're my everything. I used to think happiness hinged on a star that shone its light only for me. I set out to find it, no matter how far out there in the dark it might be. I had my ideas of what heaven was like. It just shows how wrong you can be. I found you, everything's new. With each little song that my heart wants to sing, I'll sing them for you. It's the least I can do. You're more than a friend, you're my everything. Found a reason to learn how to give and get more than I ask in return. I found a love that knows more than I do and still makes me willing to learn. I found you, everything's new. With each little song that my heart wants to sing, I'll sing them for you. It's the least I can do. You're more than a friend, you're my everything. You're more than a friend, you're my everything.
Well, that was the start of a collection of a dozen or so Claire Lynch albums, and I still love the way that she treats a song. I Found You, Claire Lynch and the Front Porch String Band. Well, we're getting into the 1990s now, and by about this period, this program became a nightmare to put together because I just couldn't decide who to play. So many great bands, so many good albums came out in the 90s and the 2000s, and in fact, bluegrass music is expanding hugely, and I certainly haven't got a chance of keeping up with it. But there were some bands that I was particularly attracted to, and there's one band I'd like to play for you from an album put out in 1995. The album is called It's a Long, Long Road. The band is Blue Highway, and to me they captured so much of what I liked about bluegrass music. It was traditional in approach, it was innovative with the way they arranged songs, their songwriting is superb. Jack Tottle, Wayne Taylor, Tim Stafford, they all wrote great songs. As well as that, they still did songs from the Stanley Brothers and Norman Blake and people like that. Even pulled in English folk songs from Ewan McColl and people like that. But whatever they did, they just made it sound like bluegrass. That's why I particularly liked Blue Highway. And we're going to hear a song from that called The One I Left Behind.
Buddy, can we talk about Virginia? Talk about the Blue Ridge and the old Lonesome Pine. Tell me about the Shenandoah Valley. And don't forget my true love, the one I love.
work here in this mighty city, sweeping floors and cleaning windows just to buy my wine. So, buddy, can we talk about Virginia? Talk about the Blue Ridge and the old Lonesome Pine. Tell me about the Shenandoah Valley.
That was Blue Highway, Sean Lane on mandolin and fiddle, Wayne Taylor bass and lead vocals on some songs, and Tim Stafford guitar and lead vocals on some songs. They all do harmony vocals. Rob Ikes on dobro and Jason Burleson on banjo and occasionally mandolin as well. Very talented band, great vocals and great songwriters, and yet captured the essence of traditional bluegrass, which I really loved about him. Well, I had the privilege of seeing Ricky Skaggs when he was 16 years old, playing with Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys. Keith Whitley was there, and we watched these two 16-year-olds play and were just amazed. And we didn't know then that they were going to be giants of bluegrass music for the next 50 years. They were. We followed their career, and I'm delighted to say that I saw Ricky Skaggs play both with his country band and his bluegrass band. He came to New Zealand. He put on some concerts, which is where he really started playing bluegrass music again. And I was just absolutely thrilled to see him play. And the band, of course, was immaculate and did some great music. Sean Lane from Blue Highway was part of that band that Ricky Skaggs brought to New Zealand. And Ricky has never shied away from including country music in his repertoire, but he also made a real point of featuring the music of Bill Monroe and the Stanley Brothers in his repertoire. And I think partly to give credit where credit is due, and also to give a few royalties where a few royalties were due as well. And Ricky has really been a stalwart for the originators of bluegrass music. And from the Bluegrass Rules CD, Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder, I'm going to play you a Carter Stanley song called Think of What You've Done. Here's Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder.
Is it true? lost you. Am I not the only one? After all this pain and sorrow, darling, think of what you've done. Heart to heart, dear, how I need you. Like the flowers need the dew, loving you's been my lifeblood. I can't believe we're really through. Is it true that I've lost you? Am I not the only one? After all this pain and sorrow, darling, think of what you've done. Let me stay there till I die. Is it true that I've lost you? Am I not the only one? After all this pain and sorrow, darling, think of what you've done.
I've always been delighted when a contemporary band pays tribute to the originators of the music, and hearing Ricky Skaggs and his band doing that song just does my heart good, I tell you. He had Mark Fain playing bass, Brian Sutton on lead guitar, Paul Brewster on rhythm guitar and the tenor vocals, Dennis Parker on rhythm guitar and the baritone vocals, Bobby Hicks on fiddle, Mark Pruitt on banjo, and Ricky played mandolin and did the lead vocal. What a fine job he did. Well, we're just about coming to the end of Bluegrass Through the Decades, and the show wouldn't be complete without something from the lady who has contributed so much to bluegrass music and given it a far wider appeal than you might possibly imagine, and that's Alison Krauss, of course. And from her early days as a fiddle player who could sing, she turned into be a wonderful vocalist who could play fiddle magically, and she always had a great band, Union Station. And I'd like to play a track that I've always loved to sing. Everything she does is just great, but this is a really bluegrassy song called Sawing on the Strings, and the version I've got is from the album 100 Miles or More. It's got Larry Atamanuick on drums, Barry Bales on acoustic bass, Ron Block on guitar, Sam Bush doing mandolin harmony vocal, Jerry Douglas on dobro, Stuart Duncan playing fiddle, and Alison Krauss fiddle and lead vocal, Tony Rice on guitar and mandolin and harmony vocal, Dan Tominski. Great song. She really took bluegrass new places in the 90s and the 2000s. I hope you enjoy the show. It's been great fun doing it. Tune in again next week. Bye. Sawing on the Strings.